It was interesting that the last property, it's not a stress property. In other words, it wasn't underwater, it wasn't upside down, it was old school owner, right? He didn't want to put money in the property. It wasn't, it's upside down, it's bought it at the apex of the market with a...
Hot chances.
That's an odd combination. You've got a Kohl's right next to a Target. I mean,
That's an interesting location.
Normally would not see something like that.
Exactly, you wouldn't see it.
Penny's just on the other side.
Yeah.
You'd see Penny's and Sears in the same shopping center.
Definitely would attract the same crowd.
I like the local touch. My office is about half a block from Ignatio at North Main, which is one of the, in California, which is one of the busier.
Are you still at 1999?
1990, North California, right. It's hopping. Ignatio, California.
I mean, I worked a lot from there years ago, and I just, that building was the only...
Right. We used to call it the sore thumb.
I call it Fidelity Building. That's how, way back.
The waffle iron or something.
I'm going to bring something in Matt's house.
Are you okay with this?
Yep.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being so patient.
No trouble.
My pleasure. We'll try to keep this entertaining late in the day.
Okay. Oh, I don't know about that.
Does it involve singing or anything?
No.
Do you have a good voice?
I think we've allotted about 35 minutes, but if you want to end up sooner than that, that's great. Also, in your material, make reference to confidentiality, since this is a public meeting and you waive that, fine.
You're aware of that and will be mindful during our discussion today.
Okay.
Should we get going?
The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, my name is Francie Melitas, and I am your relationship rep at Oak Tree, and I'm with John Brady, who is the head of our real estate team. And we very much appreciated the relationship that we've already had with you to date, most notably in our Real Estate Fund 5, which we were in here to discuss with you a couple years ago. And I'm pleased to say that not only has that opportunity worked out very well, but you know, it continues to be a very attractive market, so that's why we're back here today to discuss with you. At the end of our Real Estate Fund 5, when you committed with us, I know we were very well far along with our investments, and, to date with our Real Estate Fund 6, you know, we're quite far along as well. So I'll let John dig into that detail, but I think you know Oak Tree. I'm happy to dig into, you know, more detail, but just to give you kind of a very general overview. You know, today we manage just under $79 billion. We've got offices in 13 cities globally, and we are a leader in distressed debt. We focus solely on inefficient markets and really are focused on managing downside protection and protecting our clients' money first and foremost, but we're a leader in distressed debt. And I'll point out, as we're in here today to talk to you about our Real Estate Fund 6, everyone at Oak Tree really has gone out on a limb to say that today and here and now, one of the most, if not the most attractive opportunity that we're seeing really still exists in real estate and at the distressed point. So I'll let John dig into that in more detail. But just to highlight really quickly, since John has been at the helm managing our real estate funds, the funds that he's in charge of have returned, you know, a gross return of 19% and 14% net, and that's trending higher. We're really excited about the portfolio we've already put to work, and we're even more excited about, you know, the opportunity still at hand. So with that, I'll turn it over to John. If anybody has any questions about Oak Tree, the firm overall, by all means, ask now or along the way or afterwards.
Okay, well, I'm John Brady. I'm the portfolio manager for the real estate funds at Oak Tree. I should say this is a homecoming of sorts for me. I grew up in Contra Costa County. I'm sure my swimming records don't exist anymore. Dabble Valley College, I remember those days. But I grew up in Orinda in the 60s and 70s before houses got expensive. So I'm thankful to be from Contra Costa. And we're also thankful for the fact that you were with us in Fund 5, which, by the way, we're extremely proud of that fund. Some of the early returns, for instance, taking Taylor Morrison public and making 3.5 times our money in a two-year period, among many other investments in that portfolio. We're extremely pleased about that. And Fund 6 is a continuation of Fund 5. The world is still the same. If you were to look at the opportunities today, real estate is bifurcated quite significantly at two opposite ends of the spectrum. You have core real estate in markets like New York City. It used to be Washington, D.C. Now people are realizing maybe real estate isn't so safe in Washington, D.C. But take San Francisco or some of the strongest markets in the country where investors in clean real estate will make maybe 4 or 5% unlevered returns. At a time when interest rates are still very low, and if those interest rates go up, those returns could be in great peril because the market will demand higher returns over time. And so even clean real estate is, in our minds, very risky. At the other end of the spectrum, you have what we focus on, and in a lot of cases, it's very high quality real estate. It tends to focus on Main Street USA or markets in the Southeast and Southwest and on the Western regions where growth historically has been much higher than the national average, but the peaks and valleys of the market volatility are much greater. So in our business, we focus on banks that lent too much money, and we focus on borrowers that borrowed too much money. And typically what happens when real estate has too much debt, when a tenant comes up for renewal, the owner of that real estate does not want to invest any money in retaining that tenant. So if you had a building that at the peak someone paid 100 for and he borrowed 80 and it crashed down to 50 and he owes 80 and he's thinking about, well, am I going to pay the leasing commission? Am I going to pay the tenant improvements? Am I going to maintain the lobby? Am I going to keep the bathrooms clean, et cetera, et cetera? So what you have is this vicious cycle that results in something we call zombie real estate, where there's too much debt. And it's not until you remove that debt that you can invest capital in the asset, replenish the tenant, replenish and strengthen the tenant base, and build that asset back up to core quality or core status. But these assets that have too much debt don't get put on the market, because banks aren't taking these assets away from borrowers. Special servicers who manage commercial mortgage-backed securities aren't taking these deals away from borrowers. So borrowers are at the nexus of control of distressed real estate in the United States. Clean assets go on the market, 100 people bid on them. Assets with too much debt, there's a market of one, because when the bank is ready to take the loss, the bank calls up the borrower and says, okay, now we gotta sort this out. And typically the way we work in these situations is the guy will say, hey, but, officer so-and-so at XYZ Bank, I know I borrowed 80, but the asset today is only worth 50, and I'm losing tenants, and I don't have the capital to put it in. He said, I understand it's worth 50, I'll sell it for 50. Banks won't take back the assets because of the accounting and capital and regulatory ramifications of owning assets on their books. So if they're lending money, they have a dollar of equity, they can lend $10. If they have a dollar of bad assets, they have to have a dollar of equity reserves. So it's highly, highly punitive for the banks to take these assets. They also don't have the people resources to do the work to put the tenants back in, to clean the assets and build those assets back up. So what happens is the bank goes to the borrower and the borrower says, okay, I'll buy it for 50, but the bank has to be at that point willing to take a loss from 80 down to 50. So on average, across the $8 billion that we've acquired since Lehman failed, we've paid 42 cents on the dollar. And there's a lot of very high quality real estate in that portfolio. In fact, Fund 6, the average price is under 40 cents on the dollar. And if you look at distressed real estate going forward, there's still about $350 billion a year maturing in each of the next 5 years. Okay, so through 2017, and there have been a number of extensions, you still have real estate with too much debt that one at a time is going to get fixed. And there's no such thing as time in the market. It's just one asset at a time gets cleaned. You have $1 trillion out of a $10 trillion market of bad residential debt. Okay, slowly but surely, these bank portfolios are getting clean, but only when they make enough money to take the losses. So our business across the United States, but particularly focused in the Smile States, is about cleaning up real estate with too much debt. And we feel that there's no better way, in certainly in the distressed debt category, and we look at other areas of where capital can be deployed across Oaktree, in terms of risk mitigation, downside protection. If you can buy an asset that was once worth 100 for 50 cents in a market where as soon as there's a jobs recovery in the United States, you not only could make mid to high teens returns on the current state of play, but you can do much better than that if there's a recovery in the United States. But without a recovery, we still expect to make you mid-teens returns in real estate because we can buy it for less than it's worth because the banks aren't showing it to the entire market. The borrowers generally are able to buy back their assets very cheaply. So if you were to look at our that's a simple explanation. You know, we have multiple areas of investment focus that play on the same theme. So our base business, our base commercial real estate business, which is about 40% of what we do, is exactly that. Its average equity check is $30 million. You know, these aren't $200, $300, $500 million deals. You got big private equity crawling all over that stuff, and big corporate real estate is not distressed. It never had too much debt. You had hedge funds that held the securities that had too much debt that got wiped out, and we took advantage of that when the opportunity was good in 2009 and 10. But today, big real estate is not distressed. It's Main Street. It's under $100 million opportunities are really where you can take advantage of what I'm describing. So in the commercial real estate space, we've done close to $1 billion worth of deals across many, many transactions, and you know, a good majority of those are working with borrowers, where typically side by side they'll put up 10 to 20% of the capital, sometimes 5 if the price is cheap enough and we really like the deal. Then after a 12% return, they earn an incentive. And normally we like to hear that that incentive is going back to their original investors that lost money, because you know they're still not going to make back what they lost. And then after an 18, 19, or 20% return, they can make more, and after a 20 or 25% return, they can make even more. So that's our commercial business. We have a corporate real estate business. We investments in Fund 5 that are very exciting, like Taylor Morrison. Store Capital, it's one of the largest investments in Fund 5 and will also be in Fund 6. It's a sale leaseback finance business. A guy that has 5 Burger Kings can't get a loan, but we can take $1 billion portfolios of non-performing residential loans and borrow money from JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs right down the street at 3%. So big institutional borrowers, life is easy. Small business people, life is very difficult. So GE got out of the business, CIT got out of the business, community and regional banks got out of the business. So lending to high cash flowing middle market real estate is an area where we've been very, very successful, effectively buying assets at an 8 to 9% return and going to Wall Street, and they give us capital for 50 to 60% of that value in the 4.5% rate level. So on a current basis, yields are in the mid-teens, and if you look at it on in public company terms, and the public market is very strong today, even with the correction, you're talking about 30-plus IRRs for investments like our sale leaseback platform. So that's more of a corporate flavor of taking advantage of what's happened because of a system that relied on too much debt. We're one of the largest, we had the largest pool of capital for commercial mortgage-backed securities. We were a partner with the U.S. government. We were over 120 applicants. Some of you may be familiar with the public-private investment program. It was structured securities in many respects that brought down the financial system because people didn't know what was in these systems, so in these securities. So when the markets crashed and people that own these securities with leverage, they had to sell these securities. There were no buyers because no one could really assess what was in these very complicated instruments. So the government picked ultimately eight partners. We were one of them. And our team, we produced the highest IRR since inception of all participants in the program. We only focused on commercial mortgage-backed securities. And the reason why we were successful is because we evaluated every single asset as if we would have to own it. Okay? At what price would we be willing to own that asset? That's our value. And in a distressed market, when the world is crashing, prices that you're talking about, the value of the assets would have to fall 70% for us not to make close to a 20% return for U.S. taxpayers, which is what we did. Now, all that being said, today is not a good time to buy commercial mortgage-backed securities. The market has gone crazy again, and they've thrown risk out the window, and they're looking at buying pools of securities that they still don't understand, paying really high prices, exceptionally low yields. So in our business plan, where in some markets, commercial mortgage-backed securities are interesting, today they are not. So portfolios in 9 and 10, 25% of the portfolio was in instruments like this. Today it could be 0 to 5%. So by having these multiple areas of investment focus, we can go where the opportunities are, where the best risk-adjusted returns exist in the market for real estate, and avoid areas that get overheated. And we're living in times where volatility in market sectors are so significant in short periods of time, it's nice to be able to focus on things that are attractive and avoid them when they get excessively competitive. We're starting to see that in residential loans. We're the largest buyers in the United States in 2012 of residential mortgages. We paid about 35 cents on what people paid on their houses, which means, and the reason why you've never read a story about Oaktree ever having a problem with a borrower is because if we pay 35 cents, there is a tremendous amount of room to make everybody happy and create a win-win situation. It's the B of A's and the Wells Fargo's and the Citi's and the Barclays and all the guys that we buy from. They can't win. They're getting sued by the federal government for foreclosing too fast. They're getting sued by the federal government for foreclosing too slow. They have no room. They own these loans at 100 cents on the dollar, and they're slowly working through the system. The volume this year will be close to $25 billion. It's still a trillion-dollar problem. So a lot of these, you know, debt issues in the United States, which people think are behind us, they're really not. They're not really talked about because, again, clean real estate, and if you look at housing, housing's booming. But the houses that have too much debt are not selling. And so our system still needs to be cleaned of these issues. But by virtue of the fact that we can buy residential mortgages, at least in 2012, at 35 cents, it's extremely, I don't want to say it's easy because the organization is 2,000 people and you got to be licensed in 50 states and borrowers need to be able to call the same person every time they call to talk about their loan. So I don't want to say it's easy, but from an economic standpoint, we've found a category of investments where there's tremendous downside protection and very attractive upside opportunities for our investors and a lot of happy clients that finally have someone to talk to that can finally help them get their loan resolved. But it, you know, it's tough. These are average size $250,000 a loan. On the commercial side, as far as big bank portfolios, that's another area of business we have with the FDIC and with community and regional banks across the United States. On average, we're paying 40 cents on the dollar. It's 25 to 30 cents on what people paid for their small commercial assets on Main Street USA. Average loan size, $1.5 million. So we have a factory of 140 people to work through these loans one at a time. But it's, again, it's a category of opportunity where you're buying first lien debt, and it's the last place in America you can buy first lien debt in the 40 cents on the dollar range. You're not going to lose money. Very, very low likelihood of losing money, and your upside potential can be very attractive. And then the other area that we've seen a lot of growth is international. Okay, in Fund 5, as it stands today, less than 6 to 7% of that portfolio is in international investments. What we've started to see is UK banks wanting to deal with their debt problems. Our second biggest office in the world is in London. We have one large portfolio with Lloyds Bank at about 45 cents in the dollar. But what we're really excited about are the office building transactions that are very straightforward, cookie cutter size, $20 million a pop, where the last UK institution owned them at 40, 50, 60 million pounds, and we're buying them for 12 and 15. Now, in some cases, and not every case, they've lost tenants. In some cases, the tenancies in these buildings are not 10 and 20 years, they're only 3 years. And UK institutions don't like real estate with only 3 years of term remaining. But if you're buying those assets at the absolute trough of the market where rents are really low, you could look at a 3-year term as an opportunity to be able to reset those rents at a higher price. And when you pay a price as low as we're paying, we could suffer further deterioration in rental rates in 3 and 4 years and still be able to lease those assets and make what we think are attractive returns. So there are a lot of different categories of opportunity. We have very specific teams that focus on each of these businesses and have essentially since the Lehman crisis. And as I mentioned, our team has led over $8 billion of equity investments across these different categories. We've realized close to $5 billion. So it's a great market opportunity because the distressed assets first need to be cleaned, and there's not a lot of cleaners. There's not a lot of investors that are experts in real estate and experts in distressed debt and can access the large pools with the large amounts of capital that are necessary to be involved in this category of investing. But when you clean those assets and put them over here, their real estate is actually very expensive. And this is the real estate that most normal investors and most normal real estate investors access. It's sold by brokers. It's showed out to large numbers of potential investors. It's not, you know, protected by a borrower that doesn't want to let his asset go or sold to the guy down the street or his competitor. It's, you know, you clean it, you fix it, you lease it. Now it's core again. Now, our portfolios, if you were to look at them, you'll see a lot of concentration in California, in Phoenix, which is a market that has recovered dramatically. It's always been a boom-bust market. You've got a little bit of Las Vegas, you got Salt Lake City, you got Denver, you got Seattle, you got some Silicon Valley, San Francisco, and then you've got a lot of Southeast. You've got, which means Georgia and Florida, two markets that got very, very, very distressed during the crisis. But if you look at all those markets, where's the population going in the United States? These are markets that have grown and, you know, according to the Census Bureau, will continue to grow at more than twice the rate of the national average. So we've never been more excited about the opportunity in front of us. What we're able to do in Fund 6 is a lot like Fund 5. There's less securities, probably less corporate opportunities. We're still seeing good portfolio opportunities. We're still seeing great borrower restructurings. And then we're starting to see the UK open up. So if you look at our six businesses, commercials, restructurings with borrowers in highly distressed situations driven by too much debt, likely again to be 40% of our business. Commercial portfolios from banks, medium, community and regional banks, likely to be 15 to 20% of our business. Resi mortgages and other residential opportunities, 20-ish percent of our business. Mortgage-backed securities, 0 to 5%. it's a seller's market, and we've completely sold out of our of all of our the securities that we held in partnership with Treasury. And then corporate opportunities, they're much more competitive because that's what the big money wants to do. So unless they're proprietary, unless they're with management teams that aren't allowing other competitors to enter the fray, in Fund 5, in Fund 6, because we were able to do a follow-on in our store portfolio, we expect 5 to 10% in this category. And then international can grow from 6 to 7 to maybe 15-ish. Possibly 20 at the very highest end, at I think the highest end of the range. But we'll continue to be opportunistic. We'll go where the opportunities are most attractive, where we can deliver for you the highest risk-adjusted returns, and avoid the categories that get too that get overly competitive. I mean, that's basically our story. It's basically what we do. I'm happy to talk about a few investments, take questions.
I got a couple on them. One scenario you gave is if somebody owes $50 billion or $50 million, no investment, we put 5 or 10% down, then they'll have a $40 or $45 million debt. Are you investing and controlling what they do? You're just strictly loaning them money? Do you give a structure where if you make so much return, they'll get some back? So how do you set that one up?
Okay. I'll give you the typical structure, but it ranges across a spectrum. Sometimes we're preferred equity, and all their capital goes in junior, and it could be different. But typically, on our commercial assets, on the $1 billion that we've done, we've paid, on average, 50 cents on the dollar in that category. Okay, so the guy paid 100 in 06 and 07. He borrowed 80. It went down to about 55. Today it's worth about 65, maybe 70. He buys his debt back for 50. So you're already getting a 15-cent discount from what it would be worth if you put it out through a brokerage, now, cleaned it a little bit, and let a broker sell it. So that $50 typically is financed with 60% debt, not necessarily at the closing. A lot of times we close all cash because you get the best leverage terms if you close all cash. And we might put 50 or 60% on debt on it. Let's say it's 60%. So you borrow 30, you paid 50. So there's 20 of new equity that goes in. So we tell our partners, say, look, we want you to be aligned with us. We're going to give you another opportunity to invest with us. Put up 10 to 20% of that 20. So they put up anywhere from 2 to 4, side by side, pari passu, as equity. After that equity, collectively, together, earns a 12% return. If they put up 10% of the money, they might go, after our capital is earned to 12, their 10%, they might get 20% of the cash flow after that. And after they make, all capital makes an 18% return, they may get 25%. And someone that, so on a high-end recovery, someone that puts up 10% of the deal side by side, they might end up getting 30%.
There's any reinvesting going into your tunnel? Sometimes I'll go in and refurbish things.
Well, there's a lot of leasing commissions and tenant improvements.
Okay.
Yeah. There's additional capital above the price, okay. Typically.
Now, on the Fight Burger Kings, how's that kind of investment work?
Sale-leaseback finance. Okay. There used to be lots of lenders. It's a way of making a loan, but you own the asset in lieu of making a loan. But you're signing a lease with an owner of that asset for 20 years. So a guy that owns 5 Burger Kings, instead of going to the bank to get in a loan, he'll say, look, I'll sell you my Burger Kings, but I'll sign a 20-year lease and I'll guarantee it. So you look at that stream of cash flow that you have 20 years of guaranteed payments, and we'll buy that stream of cash flow for about 8.75% return. So we make 8.75 on the lease, and he's taking that cash and buying other Burger Kings, okay? So, but then that 8.75 return that we're making, we can go to Wall Street, and they'll give us a loan term, not short term, usually 8 years plus, but they'll lend us 60% of our purchase price at about 4.5. So the cash return on the equity that you have in is like 15%. And these are assets that, on a cash flow basis, generate two times the amount of cash flow that they would need to service the debt through the financial crisis. So these are very hardy retail assets. They're just small. And so a guy will take five of them, say, okay, I want to finance these. And because GE was one of the biggest players in the business, they got out. CIT, out. Community and regional banks. So it's a situation where a lot of the people that used to service small to medium-sized businesses vacated and left. So we can make, and public companies in this space trade for about 18, 19, 20 times what we call funds flow from funds from operations. If you valued our company currently at 12 times, which is more of the historical average, because now these companies have huge valuations, it's still close to a 25 to 30% return on the equity capital that we're investing. So, but what we're doing is we're displacing, or we're investing capital in a place that used to have a very competitive market of lenders that would service the small to middle market. They all left. I don't want to say all of them, but it's much less competitive than it used to be. When they all come back, and they will, then the yields, instead of the guy that has the Burger King for sale, he can sell it and sign a lease where he only has to pay 6%. And he'd rather do that. But right now, the best deal he can do is 8.5 or 9.
It sounds like the Burger King guy did a reverse mortgage.
Well, not really. In a reverse mortgage, you're taking payments. You know, you kind of finance your house and you're getting a certain amount of money every month. Here, it was technically this is a sale lease back. He's selling you the Burger King and leasing it back 20 years with a guarantee. And these corporate borrowers, these guys that own these, they're not poor. And they have big balance sheets and they make a guarantee it's meaningful. And we're not, and one of our other rules is we'll never invest more than what the physical asset is worth. So Burger King might be generating a lot of cash flow, but that we won't give them more than what it would cost to construct the space. I don't want to go on and on about this.
How do you get out of the sale? Say, you bought the Burger Kings, or you leased him the money, he leased it back to you.
Well, right now our portfolio is over $1 billion of equity. So it's an institutional exit. So either GE's going to buy it. So the management team that we have currently is taking two companies public, and they've sold one of those to GE Capital. And there'll either be a bank or a financial institution that realizes someday when they get healthy again, they'll be like, you know what? We should be back in that sale lease back middle market lending business. We got to go buy somebody. So there's either a sale to one of those guys, or we take it public, like we did with our home builder last spring. So it's taking a lot of little small transactions and putting them on a $1 billion platform. And this, we're close to $2 billion in total assets. Wall Street is telling us to take it public right now. Our original thought was we should be $3 billion or $4 billion. But to date, the spread between where you can borrow and where you the unlevered yield you receive, that 8.5% to 9%, never been wider. It's over 400. It's, you know, over 400 basis points. Never in history has it been that large of a spread, and it continues to persist. So $100 million in Fund 6 is in that business, and that's the other thing I should have said. We've invested over $700 million on investments very close to what we did in Fund 5, and Fund 5 is going to be a great fund. We're very we're confident of that. We have additional commitments that bring us over $1 billion. So, you know, give or take, we're close to a pool that you'd be investing in where we're half invested. And a lot of it was 2012 opportunities. There are certain categories that have gotten more competitive, namely residential mortgages, in the first part of 2013. And part of the reason is the residential market is now booming. You know, when we first bought residential mortgages, we could assume that, you know, we'd need to make an unlevered 17% return and that home prices would go down another 8%. Okay? In 2012, we could bid to a 15% unlevered return, assuming home prices would remain flat. Today, people are making assumptions about home prices that it's getting harder for us. We're not as successful because we don't want to we don't want to be overly aggressive. So we're fairly careful. But there's still lots of assets that have too much debt. There are lots of borrowers that need help. And I think we've earned a reputation in the marketplace for doing what we say we're going to do. We don't jerk people around. We don't retrade people. They know our capital costs 20%. I mean, that's the price of equity. And they don't mind so much the cost, because if you have an opportunity to buy back what you paid $100 for and you can buy it back for 50 cents, it's like, let's get this deal done and maybe we can do more deals. I mean, we have... And we have institutional partners like Hines. You know, we have, you know, we own the Fairmont San Francisco. You know, and these aren't, to point out, these aren't really cruddy assets per se. You know, the Beverly Hilton, the Century Plaza on Avenue of the Stars on the west side of Los Angeles, if any of you are familiar with that hotel. The Orchid. Fairmont Orchid on the Big Island of Hawaii, if any of you have ever been there. Hotels went from, you know, on average, the hotels I'm talking about, and they all kind of fit in this category. $20 million of cash flow, market crashes, goes to two. Well, you'd rather buy a trophy asset like that when you're negotiating about a cash flow of two than when it was at 20. And they're extremely volatile. So we were able, at times of great volatility, and there's a lot of this exposure in Fund 5, which is why we're excited, because we see a lot of upward pressure in the hotel segment. We see a lot of upward pressure in residential. But that doesn't mean there's still not lots out there where people have problems, where they still have too much debt on their assets. And we're going to continue to clean assets through 2017, probably 2018, one at a time. And that's the business.
Any questions? Thank you very much for the presentation.
Okay.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity, and we hope to work with you in the future, but we appreciate all the support you've shown us.
When do you expect to close, first closing?
Thank you for asking. We're very far along with our fundraise to date, so the final closing is set for September 18th.
Okay.
And we've closed on, as John referenced, just over at approximately $1.2 billion to date. We've already received commitments for that final close. And we think that, you know, with the interest that has been shown, the final fund size could land somewhere around $2 billion, or you know, we have a hard cap of $2.5 billion, but I think somewhere between $2 to $2.5 billion, based on the interest level that we're seeing to date. We've had a number of investors that have been looking at us, and now that we're coming close to that final close, they're very anxiously trying to speak with us. So we will keep you posted, but we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
John, my son swims for Diablo Valley College, so I'll be certain to look for your name out on the record board. He'll be delighted that I met someone successful today that swam at DVC. That's great.
Please report back to us. I'd love to know the numbers.
I don't know if they still hold the county meet there, but...
They do. They also usually do the Big 8 championship meet there. It's become quite the venue.
All right. Well, I miss Contra Costa. So, thanks, everyone.
Thank you, John.